Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, August 7th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
prospects for a stimulus deal fade on Capitol Hill.
The White House takes action on TikTok, banning business with its Chinese-owned app.
Tariffs are back on the table as the president hits Canada with levies.
And Wall Street awaits the most unpredictable jobs report in recent memory.
It's the last minute for Governor Cuomo's decision on virtual classes for New York City schools, plus damage control and personal attacks on the presidential campaign trail. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Scott Seidenberg. The Yankees' comeback effort falls short, and round two of the PGA Championship gets underway today. I'll have that and more coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm, helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
U.S. futures are lower ahead of the monthly payrolls report, 601 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 17 points this morning. Dow futures down 146, NASDAQ futures down 54. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32 yield 0.52%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 1% or 41 cents at $41.53 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $20.69.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1818 against the dollar. The yen 105.65. John.
And Karen, we begin on Capitol Hill, where prospects for a stimulus deal appear to be waning.
We're very disappointed in the meeting, but we urge our Republican colleagues to come back and continue to negotiate.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is holding out hope for a comprehensive agreement, but Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says they're far apart on some of the biggest issues.
I think there's a lot of issues we are close to a compromised position on, but I think there's a handful of very big issues that we are still very far apart.
It looks like an ideological divide is what's stalling the talks. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi puts it this way.
What they were offering us was Sophie's Choice. Not enough money for food, nothing for housing in terms of rentals. A moratorium, that's nice, but it's not money for rent.
With no deal in sight, President Trump plans to sign orders as soon as today to extend enhanced unemployment benefits and impose a payroll tax holiday.
The president's also signing orders aimed at curbing Chinese tech. Overnight, he banned U.S. residents from doing business with the TikTok and WeChat apps. Here with more is Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie from Beijing.
The ban marks a significant escalation by Trump in his confrontation with Beijing as the U.S. tries to curb China's tech ambitions and ward off what it says are data and security risks. The move coincides with Trump's push for a sale of video app TikTok to an American company with a deadline set for September 15. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thank you. In response, TikTok says it'll pursue all remedies. It says the executive order treats TikTok users unfairly and was issued without due process.
The move sent a shockwave across Asian markets, hitting some of the most loved tech stocks in the region. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, John and Karen. Shares in WeChat operator Tencent slumped more than 10% at one point, the most since March 2011. The offshore yuan also retreated, and the CSI 300 on the mainland was down by 1.1%. Elsewhere, the Nikkei 225 fell 0.4%, while Australia's ASX 200 closed down 0.6% in Sydney. But South Korean travel stocks rose after the US lifted its travel warning, the Kospi closing at a near two-year high. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., today is all about jobs. We get the employment report for July just over 3 hours from now. Here with more is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Economists don't have a clear read on what happened to the labor market in July. COVID cases began spiking around the time of the job survey, and high-frequency data like jobless claims and private sector employment surveys suggest companies once again cut back. That's offset by the stronger-than-expected jobs restoration in May and June, and by a strong seasonal adjustment that may add as many as a million employees to the actual total. There's more agreement on unemployment. Only 4 of 74 economists surveyed think it will dip below double digits. Absent a huge surprise, analysts don't expect the data to have a big impact on Wall Street, but a bad report could influence politicians haggling over another stimulus bill in Washington. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Mike. And turning to trade now, tariffs are back on the table at the White House, this time President Trump targeting aluminum from Canada.
Today I signed a proclamation that defends American industry by reimposing aluminum tariffs on Canada. Canada was taking advantage of us, as usual.
The president is removing Canada's exemption from 10% levies on aluminum. The move comes just weeks after the new North American trade agreement went into effect.
The U.S. is also putting pressure on Chinese companies listed on U.S. exchanges. The president's working group on financial markets is pushing for new rules that could result in delisting Chinese companies. Here with details on that is Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank.
There's been a lot of call for additional transparency and the ability for inspectors from the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board to review audits of companies like Alibaba, like Baidu, other firms that trade on American markets. China generally refuses to allow those inspectors to review those audits. This is sort of a move toward that. The fear here is that what it will actually do in practice is tell all of these companies to go cross-list in Hong Kong or London or somewhere else instead.
Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank reports those companies would have until 2022 to come into compliance with the new rules. At the same time, legislation requiring more transparency from Chinese companies is also moving through Congress.
And shares of Uber down 4% at the pre-market. Quarterly sales tumbled as the coronavirus led to a slump in riders. And Zillow shares, they're up 13%. Revenue beat estimates thanks to record traffic to the real estate listing company's websites. And T-Mobile higher by 5% this morning. The carrier says it overtook AT&T to become the second biggest U.S. mobile provider. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much, sir. Hundreds of thousands still remain without power in the tri-state area from Tropical Storm Isaias in New York. This Astoria resident says their street has been closed since Tuesday's storm, and crews have not cleared the damage or repaired the power.
I don't know if it's lack of funding. I don't know if it's the mayor that kind of forgot about Astoria and Long Island City. I'm not really sure.
Governor Andrew Cuomo declared a state of emergency to enable the state to provide additional levels of support throughout the cleanup. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont activated the state's National Guard to help in cleanup efforts from Isaias.
We're going to be riding hard to make sure we get this done.
More than a half million customers are still without power in Connecticut. Governor Andrew Cuomo could make a last-minute decision today on whether New York City's schools will reopen for in-person classes this fall amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Most major districts across the U.S. will begin the academic year virtually. Mayor Bill de Blasio has said the system is ready to reopen next month for its 1.1 million students after more than 8 weeks in which the city's transmission rate has held below 3%. Former Vice President Joe Biden is clarifying his comments from yesterday, where he seemed to suggest the black community lacks diversity of thought. It happened during an interview with the National Association of Latino Elected Officials.
Unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
Overnight, Biden said that he in no way meant to suggest the African-American community is a monolith, adding that he was referring to diversity of attitudes among Latinos when it comes to immigration. President Trump engaged in a deeply personal attack on Joe Biden. Trump in Cleveland, Ohio, said Biden is against God. Biden said the attack on his faith was shameful. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, who had planned to join the president on his visit, at first tested positive for COVID-19. A second test hours later came back negative. The NRA calls a lawsuit filed by the New York State Attorney General a baseless attack on Second Amendment rights. AG Letitia James accuses top NRA executives of misappropriating tens of millions of dollars.
What we are seeking is that this corporation, which was formed under the not-for-profit law in the state of New York, that it be dissolved.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 610 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. The Yankees dug themselves an early hole that they could not climb out of last night. Jordan Montgomery tagged for 5 runs in the first 3 innings as the Yankees would fall to the Phillies 5-4. It was Gary Sanchez homering for the first time this season in the loss. Masahiro Tanaka starts the opener of a 4-game set tonight for the Bombers in Tampa. The Mets were off last night. They'll begin a 7-game homestand tonight against Miami with Michael Wacha on the hill. Round 1 of the PGA Championship yesterday at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco saw Jason Day and Brandon Todd take the top leaderboard at 5-under par. Tiger Woods shot a 2-under 68. Tiger had not opened a major with a round in the 60s since 2014. Here was Tiger on the course conditions.
Overall, at this golf course, if you hit the ball in the rough and you get a ball that's into the green, there's really no chance you can get the ball to the green. So it's important to drive the ball in the fairway. And golf ball's not going very far. These conditions are, the air's heavy and not flying, so it's important to get the ball in play.
Tiger tees off for his second round at 4:58 this afternoon. Back-to-back defending champ Brooks Koepka shot a 4-under 66. He'll tee off at 4:36. Live coverage of round 2 begins on Bloomberg 1130 at 4 o'clock. Hockey this afternoon. The Islanders will look to finish off the Panthers in their qualifying series. The puck drops around noon. In basketball, the Nets take on the Kings at 5. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports.
All right, thanks, Scott. And please join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business Sports Show when we tackle some key football topics with former quarterback Joe Theismann. Will it be a full NFL season? What does he think about the name change for the Washington football team? Catch that conversation tonight at 7, tomorrow 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the decline this morning, along with stocks in Asia and Europe, after President Trump's latest attack on Chinese tech companies stoked tensions with Beijing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 17 points. Dow futures down 144. NASDAQ futures down 57. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.52%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 36 cents at $41.59 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, down $1.10 at $20.68.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1815 against the dollar, British pound 1.3087, and the yen 105.67. We are looking for the July jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time. Then at 10, it's wholesale inventories. At 3, consumer credit. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, researchers behind an influential model are projecting that the U.S. death toll from coronavirus could reach nearly 300,000 by December 1st. But that can be changed if Americans consistently wear masks. As of now, more than 160,000 Americans have died from COVID-19. In Lebanon, protests sparked inside the city of Beirut as residents continue to demand answers in Tuesday's devastating explosion that rocked a major seaport, killing at least 149 and leaving thousands homeless in the wake of the blast. New documents show warning letters sent to multiple government agencies about the, quote, floating bomb being stored at the port were ignored after the ammonium nitrate was confiscated from a Russian cargo ship in 2013. 16 port workers are now under arrest. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Phillies. The Orioles and Giants lost. The A's won. NHL action, the Capitals lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is coming up on 6:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. It's going to be something of a crapshoot this morning. We get the monthly jobs report here in the United States. It could show real job momentum and formation, or it could show a halted recovery over a 60-day period. Let's get a preview this morning with Bloomberg economist Yelena Shaletova. Why are the projections all over the map with this report?
A lot of uncertainty. And Governor Lytle Brainard, the Fed Governor Lytle Brainard, recently summarized it really well. We are in the fog of uncertainty. So people just simply don't know if the recovery continuing or is there any momentum going on. So the July jobs report covered the period in which COVID-19 infections accelerated. Jobless claims remained elevated and consumer sentiment declined. So those are those people who look at these things, they are calling for a negative number. But some people think, okay, maybe there's enough momentum still in July that we can still eke another positive, even a smaller positive, and we're in this camp. So we're expecting 500,000 jobs in the months of July. But I will not be surprised to see a negative reading as soon as August, actually.
A Bloomberg Economics, you're below consensus then, right?
We are below consensus, and we think that a lot of things actually deteriorated in the period between the payroll survey week in the months of July and that one in June. So we did see an acceleration in cases. We did see a pickup in lockdowns, and things are very uncertain. So companies are simply freezing hiring. So if not firing, there's less people hiring people. So yeah. I think that's going to be a big challenge.
Okay, to be fair, the forecast is to show the consensus is 1.48 million increase in non-farm payrolls for July. The median estimate projections, they range from a 600,000 decline to a gain of more than 3.2 million. So it's a brave soul who comes on the radio this morning and actually makes a projection like that, Yelena. What has the higher frequency data showed leading up to this report?
They showed deterioration, a pickup in cases, the increase in lockdowns, and that is telling me that we will see worse numbers down the road. Another thing that worries me is the number of people who are leaving the labor force, so-called shadow jobless. So yes, we do look at the statistics for payrolls. We do look at the statistics for the unemployment rate, and those have been improving. But what has been deteriorating is those who are not in the labor force. They're increasing in numbers. People are being discouraged.
And they don't get counted, right? It's just like
they're counted, but they're counted separately from the unemployment rate. So you look at the number of discouraged workers. That one has doubled since the beginning of this crisis. You look at the number of people who don't want to look for a job simply for family reasons. They have to look after kids and others, and for other reasons related to COVID-19. Maybe they just scared to come to work or the work is not available.
Now, so, when all this started, I heard the word furlough here, furlough there. At what point do we get clarity on whether or not those were furloughs that the people are going to be called back or these are permanent?
I think people will start realizing that this is not a furlough anymore. This is becoming more permanent. And when they ask questions in the household survey, the survey that actually provides data for the unemployment rate, these people will be counted as unemployed more and more. And, you know, there was an issue with misclassification in the unemployment rate. So some people thought of themselves as still being employed, but temporarily out of work. And some people thought they were unemployed. So there will be more and more people who think they're finally unemployed, officially unemployed. So yeah. That will keep the unemployment rate elevated in the coming months.
Real quick, just 20 seconds. What's the first thing you go to when the jobs reports come out? There are all sorts of numbers that you can look at.
Obviously, the headline payrolls number.
Okay.
positive, negative, what kind of whether it is strong or not, and the unemployment rate. But we also look at a whole bunch of different statistics, including wages. Wages is another issue that it will continue to decline because there's simply much more supply of workers than demand for them.
Yelena, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us this morning. Yelena Shaletova, a Bloomberg economist, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, ahead of the jobs report. This is all going to change. Dow futures right now down 138 points. S&P futures, they are down 16. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak is being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower as prospects for a stimulus deal fade on Capitol Hill.
There's a handful of very big issues that we are still very far apart.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said there's disagreement on both the top line numbers and the biggest individual provisions. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is holding out hope for an agreement.
We urge our Republican colleagues to come back and continue to negotiate. A few times it looked like they weren't going to do that, and we urge them to do it.
With no deal in sight, President Trump plans to sign orders to extend enhanced unemployment benefits and impose a payroll tax holiday.
The president's also signing orders aimed at curbing Chinese tech. He's banning U.S. residents from doing business with the TikTok and WeChat apps. And Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has details from Beijing.
The ban marks a significant escalation by Trump as the U.S. tries to curb China's tech ambitions and ward off what it says are data and security risks. Shares of WeChat's owner Tencent fell as much as 10% in morning trading. The offshore yuan also weakened. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Tom. In response, TikTok says it will pursue all remedies. It says the executive order treats TikTok users unfairly and was issued without due process.
Tariffs are back on the table at the White House, with President Trump reimposing 10% levies on aluminum from Canada.
The aluminum business was being decimated by Canada. Very unfair.
And in response, Canada said it will impose dollar-for-dollar countermeasures on U.S. aluminum.
On Wall Street, today is all about jobs. Forecasts for the July payrolls report are all over the map. We're seeing estimates as high as a gain of 3 million and predictions that call for losses around 500,000. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has more.
There are some signs of recovery, but America's still down about 15 million jobs since March. Bloomberg Economics says it wouldn't be surprising to see a negative payroll print possibly as soon as August. Data from payroll provider ADP suggests hiring leveled off in July and weekly jobless claims still top 1 million. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures down 141. NASDAQ futures down 58. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.53%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 37 cents at $41.58 a barrel. And the euro, 1.1815 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. And here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Hundreds of thousands in the tri-state area remain in the dark after Tropical Storm Isaias. Governor Andrew Cuomo declared a state of emergency Wednesday to enable the state to provide additional levels of support throughout the cleanup, including power restoration. This Astoria resident says neither the city nor the power companies have come to the neighborhood. Her street remains closed.
It's making me mad, of course, because we pay taxes and now here we go. We can't even leave the street or get our car out.
At its peak, nearly 2.5 million people lost power in the region. For a brief moment this morning, the lights went out in Midtown Manhattan. The power has been restored. No word on what caused that outage. Governor Andrew Cuomo will make a last-minute decision on whether New York City's schools will reopen for in-person classes this fall amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Most major districts across the U.S. will begin the academic year with virtual classes, but Cuomo has said he would decide on local districts' plans in the first week of August. That leaves only today. Cuomo said yesterday the parents are going to make the decision on a practical level. Governor Cuomo also says he signed a 30-day extension of a moratorium on evictions during the pandemic. Cuomo on ABC 7.
No evictions as long as we are in the middle of the epidemic. Until when? Until I say COVID is over.
President Trump spent the day in Cleveland, where he toured a Whirlpool plant. The president said Joe Biden's beliefs are counter to what the citizens of Ohio want.
Take away your guns, destroy your Second Amendment, no religion, no anything, hurt the Bible, hurt God.
Biden said, for President Trump to attack my faith is shameful. Meanwhile, the Biden campaign is trying to do some damage control. On immigration, Biden said, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things. Biden's campaign insists he was not suggesting the black community is a monolith, but rather was referring to diversity of attitudes among Latinos when it comes to immigration. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. The Yankees fell to the Phillies last night, 5-4. Jordan Montgomery tagged for 5 runs in the first 3 innings of the ballgame. Gary Sanchez did homer in the loss, his first long ball of the season. Masahiro Tanaka starts the opener of a 4-game set for the Bombers tonight in Tampa. The Mets were off last night. They'll begin a 7-game homestand tonight against Miami with Michael Wacha on the hill. Hockey this afternoon, the Islanders look to finish off the Panthers in their qualifying series. They lead 2-1. Basketball, the Nets take on the Kings at 5. PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Jason Day and Brandon Todd, your co-leaders, at 5-under par. Tiger Woods shot a 2-under 68. Tiger had not opened a major with a round in the 60s since 2014. And, of course, golf's first major of 2020 being played without fans in attendance. It was Tiger.
It's just the way it is. You know, this is our norm is going to be, you know, for a while. You know, I don't know how long it's going to be, but, you know, the energy is different. Then, you know, you're not going to have as many distractions, you know, out there as well. There's really no one moving around. You don't hear the crowd noises. It's just different.
Tiger tees off at 4:58 this afternoon. Back-to-back defending champ Brooks Koepka shot a 4-under 66. He tees off at 4:36. Live coverage of round 2 begins on Bloomberg 1130 at 4 o'clock. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, Scott, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Debates. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The presidential race seems to be skipping ahead to perhaps its most dismal phase, the debate over debates. Debates get a lot of attention, but rarely have any significant effect on general election results. As with most campaign events, those who are most likely to pay attention are strong partisans who watch through the filter of their previous preferences and were going to vote for their party's candidate no matter what. This isn't a flaw in the system. Politics in a democracy isn't primarily about one-on-one verbal confrontations with the winner entitled to rule. The main value of debates is that they are extremely high-profile events focused, for the most part, on public policy, which means that the things that the eventual president says in the debates are among his or her most visible policy promises. In other words, presidential debates have become somewhat central to how representation works in presidential politics. That's pretty important. It just doesn't have much to do with who wins the election. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentary is going to be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Now, some other stories we're following. Shares of Uber are down 4% of the pre-market. Quarterly sales tumbled as the coronavirus led to a slump in riders. But Uber says it will still achieve its goal of turning a profit by year's end. The ride-hailing company has cut costs due to the pandemic, eliminating about a quarter of its workforce in May. Shares of Zillow up 13% in early trading. The real estate company reported record traffic to its websites, helping quarterly revenue beat estimates. Here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Low interest rates and consumer demand for bigger living spaces pushed potential homebuyers online. CEO Rich Barton says Zillow will be the beneficiary of dragging the industry into the future. He says his company is benefiting from two trends, one being house hunters who are embracing virtual tours and other digital tools during the age of social distancing. And he says Americans are looking for new properties now that they're spending a larger share of their time stuck at home. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Charlie. Shares of Stamps.com surged 19% in extended trading. The company reported profit and revenue well above estimates. The online mailing service is also raising financial targets for the year. And T-Mobile is higher by 5%. The carrier says it overtook AT&T to become the second biggest U.S. mobile provider. Due in part to T-Mobile's takeover of Sprint, the company now has more than 98 million subscribers, second only to Verizon's 119 million. And we're learning more about the Federal Reserve's Main Street lending program. So far, it's made just 8 loans in its first month, giving out 12% of the $600 billion available. Critics say the Fed's made conditions for the program so tough that many companies decided it's just not worth the effort. The largest loan for $50 million went to a casino operator in Pennsylvania. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures down 134 points. S&P futures, they're down 16. NASDAQ futures, they are 52 points lower. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures declining along with stocks in Asia and Europe after President Trump's latest attack on Chinese tech companies stoked tensions with Beijing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 15 points. Dow futures down 122. NASDAQ futures down 52. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 0.53%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 36 cents at $41.50. A barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.40 at $20.67 an ounce. The euro 1.1821 against the dollar. British pound 1.3091 and the yen 105.68. And today we're watching for the July jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time. Attendance wholesale inventories at 3 consumer credit. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, rescue teams are searching the rubble of Beirut's port for bodies nearly 3 days after a massive explosions and a wave of destruction through Lebanon's capital, killing nearly 150 people and wounding thousands. At least 3 more bodies have been recovered in the last 24 hours, bringing the death toll to 149. The blast was apparently caused by the ignition of 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate that had been stored at the port since 2013. A marathon meeting in the capital brought little progress on the top issues confronting negotiators on vital COVID-19 rescue money. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said last night, "There's a handful of very big issues that we are still very far apart on." In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Phillies, the Orioles and Giants lost, the A's won. In the NHL, the Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital this morning include those stimulus talks near the brink of collapse after a rancorous meeting. TikTok says it's shocked by their recent executive order by President Trump. and Joe Biden apologizing for comments on racial diversity among blacks. Let's take a deeper dive into these stories this morning with Bloomberg's Washington reporter, Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good Friday morning to you. Let's start with the stimulus talks. I'm not even sure at this point, did they have talks scheduled for today, do we know?
Well, it's a little bit unclear. Yesterday, you know, we were talking about the potential for a breakthrough. It looks like things very much went off the rails yesterday. And there was no guarantee as of late last night that they were even going to meet again today. It looks as though perhaps things might be moving in the direction of the White House still talking about perhaps trying to act unilaterally on some of these issues. But certainly things in the last 24 hours have gotten much worse in terms of finding an agreement, not better.
Do we know what the hang-up is? What issues?
Well, it sounds like, you know, in addition to figuring out how to do unemployment and the expanded unemployment benefit that expired a week ago, it sounds like they're still arguing over the size of the package. Democrats want a much, much bigger, more like $3.5 trillion rather than the $1 trillion that Senate Republicans proposed. So it sounds like that's still a big sticking point. And also, Democrats are really pushing for additional aid to state and local governments. And I think they feel like they're in a good negotiating position to get that, but it doesn't seem like the White House has been willing to budge thus far.
I'm a little unclear as to whether or not the president has the authority to just make a declaration to issue an executive order with respect to the things he says he will do to sort of do an end run around the talks should they collapse.
Yeah, and I think you're unclear because it is unclear. You know, okay. Trump is basically, and the White House has basically asserted that they have that ability, but it's not completely clear. Legal experts might not agree. It may be that the Trump administration takes that step and then waits to see if Democrats challenge them in court.
And our next story involving TikTok and Chinese tech overall, again, the tensions increasing between the United States and China. What's the issue with TikTok and what's going to happen here?
Well, it sounds like TikTok, the latest is that this morning, you know, TikTok's really protesting the executive order that was issued, which bans U.S. residents from engaging with the company 45 days from yesterday. And so this certainly has escalated already fraught tensions between Washington and Beijing. And so I think, but it's not, I mean, it's definitely been something that the Trump administration has been telegraphing now for several weeks. So in that sense, it wasn't a surprise, but it's a little bit, you know, notable or eyebrow-raising that the Trump administration did go through with it. And I think now it'll be interesting to watch over the next 45 days what happens and how this plays out.
Is there any indication that the president is benefiting politically from this the show of force against China, being tougher on China?
Well, he's certainly hoping that it works to his advantage politically. The taking a tough line against China is something that he talks about a lot on the campaign trail, going back to 2015 when he first started his run for the presidency. And I think that he feels like it's something that resonates with his base, that he's able to be tough with China. And I think that certainly is a factor in why we're seeing this, particularly now when we're, you know, not very far out from the election and Trump is sagging in the polls.
And our last story, Joe Biden is apologizing. He opened his mouth and, well, maybe the wrong words came out. What happened here, Kathleen?
Well, and it wouldn't be the first time that that's happened. It wouldn't be the first time it's happened in this election, and it wouldn't be the first time that it's happened to Biden in this election as it relates to black voters. He basically made some comments to a group of Latino voters that he was speaking to, indicating that, you know, perhaps he thought there was not a big degree of diversity among the black community or within the black community. He's since apologized for that and said that is not at all what he intended, but it's just the latest in a series of gaffes from Biden.
Okay, Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter, thanks a lot. You could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. Reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. We have this headline crossing the Bloomberg. Goldman Sachs boosting litigation reserves by more than $2 billion after agreeing with Malaysia to resolve probes into the U.S. bank's role in a scheme to plunder the nation's 1MDB investment fund. The additional provision cut the firm's previously announced second quarter profit by 85%. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The UN is reporting a huge surge in cybercrime during the pandemic. According to the UN counterterrorism chief, there was a 350% increase in phishing websites reported in the first quarter of the year. Many targeted hospitals and healthcare systems and hindered their work responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. Epic Games, the video game company behind Fortnite, said the business is valued at $17.3 billion after completing a new round of funding. The deal makes Epic the fifth most valuable technology startup in the U.S. With the funds secured, Epic is now more valuable than the likes of DoorDash and Instacart, two food delivery companies that have also benefited from pandemic-related spending. And Mark Zuckerberg's net worth passed $100 billion for the first time after Facebook hit a record high on optimism about the release of its TikTok competitor, Reels. The 36-year-old joins fellow tech titans Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates as the only people in the world who currently have centibillionaire status, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Zuckerberg's fortune is largely derived from his 13% stake in Facebook. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
Yeah, it's time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Today we head to New Hampshire, about 20 miles outside of Manchester, where we find Middle Branch Farm. Roger Noonan and his daughter run this certified organic family farm. The pandemic has changed life here, too. Roger joins us now. You and your daughter had some big plans to branch out into agritourism. Is that still happening?
So we had planned on this year was the year we were going to do, you know, short-term rentals or Airbnb, perhaps, and on-farm events. That was the plan. I think my daughter had a couple of weddings planned for October. Those have since been canceled.
You put those future business plans on hold. At your core, you're still a vegetable farm, so how's that core business been impacted?
Well, I'd say the first impact we had was supply issues. We were scrambling to find, you know, certain seeds and certain supplies. There was a real shortage of things and just a real bottleneck in the supply line when that happened across many industries.
Yeah, you do community support agriculture. Customers have a subscription, basically. They come to the farm, get veggies for a 16-week period. That must have changed.
So now everything, instead of coming up to the barn and there'll be, you know, bins of this and bins of that, and you take, you know, two of this and three of that, everything is going to be pre-bagged, and packaging costs money. And again, going back to the supply chain, there were delays in getting things like packaging because, you know, thousands of farms were scrambling for the same thing.
In addition to that, what other challenges have you had to face?
The contraction of additional markets. She had a pretty good restaurant trade, which is not totally dried up, but significantly reduced.
All right, Roger Noonan at Middle Branch Farm in New Boston, New Hampshire. Thanks very much. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures down 13 points this morning. Dow futures down 114. NASDAQ futures down 46. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moskow, and this is Bloomberg.